Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry.
Today we're joined by Sarah Metcalf and Lionel Ibarra. Sarah is one of the chairs of our Virtual Employment Engagement Summit on the 11th to the 13th of May, and is the founder of Happy Coffee Consulting. Sarah has spent the last 10 years researching and training in happiness at work, after becoming a certified Chief Happiness Officer in 2018. She now provides happiness at work training and programs. Lionel is a digital passionate, transformational leader and human resources professional with over 10 years experience in leading strategic areas such as talent management, learning and development. Today he is responsible for the people agenda of the digital population at L'Oréal Latin America and the HR digital transformation of the business.
Hello everyone, welcome to today's Employee Engagement Podcast. Ahead of this year's Employee Engagement Summit, we're sitting down with just some of our world-class speakers for an exclusive interview ahead of the event to share insight into their roles, the challenges they've faced in recent times, and if we're lucky, maybe a sneak peek into the presentation. My name's Sarah Metcalf, and I'll be chairing day three of the summit, and I'm really thrilled to be joined by Lionel Ibarra, who is the HR head for digital and upskilling at the L'Oréal Group. Lionel, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
It's brilliant to have you. So I guess as we're heading into this, I mean, some of the stuff that's really interesting for people is, the future of work. Well, I mean, even the present of work is changing rapidly.
Sure.
And in recruitment, there must be a huge amount of changes coming your way. So in this new world that we're kind of forging, one question that comes up is kind of, what's the best way to spot external talent now?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think of a good way to spot talent is, I mean, we need to understand that due to all the situation that has happened with pandemic and lockdown and stuff, we become to enter the globalization, because we have to understand that we don't need to spot the candidates that need to be based in one country or one city. We can spot candidates that are traveling all around the world and they can fit what we're looking for in terms of positions. So these candidates or these new candidates are moving all around, and they are willing to work for whatever part they want in order that they can get a good benefit from the company. So I think a really good way to spot this talent is to understand what is their willing and how we can attract them to the company. But necessarily, it's a globalization for sure that we need to be focused on.
That's amazing, isn't it? So all of a sudden in recruitment, your pool of talent has just become the whole world instead of maybe focusing where you're actually based.
Correct. You know, of course, there have been some, specifications in terms of time zone and stuff, but for sure, I mean, you can become a headhunter of the world, let's say, this way, because you could spot really good talent all around instead of just looking in one segmentation of, or one target of people, naming it a country or an area. So I think it's a good way to go all over and spot really good talent in the globe, for sure.
Wow. So I can imagine that has a lot of benefits and then a lot of challenges as well. So do you find that you have to use more, I guess, like digital tools for finding people? I guess there's nobody walking into your office these days.
For sure. Well, there's no offices right now. Yeah. No, I think that it's a good question, because, I mean, we, of course, have good tools and good platforms. I think the most common is, for example, let's say LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great platform to connect people in a professional way. Of course, it's a social media, and it's a good way to spot talent in there and spot people to start tracking what they do in the system. There are millions of ATS that are this attraction talent tracking systems, where you can actually have a registration of every interview, every candidate you've seen. And in case that you can see a really good potential in this candidate or really, really good competencies that are aligned on what you're looking for, it could be a candidate that it might be, I don't know, you can spot it for one position, but at the same time, you can have all this record and share it with one of your colleagues that could be useful of that information. So I think and this is something super, super common in digital, that data or the information is your best friend. Why? Because you can analyze all this data, you can understand what is the information about this candidate, and you can use this information in order to put the right person in the right position. So I would say, for sure, make useful of all the digital platforms, all the digital tools in order to track this information and spot your best talent. And actually, LinkedIn has their own tracking system, but you don't need to invest in another one if you already invest in a LinkedIn account to look for talent.
Oh, that's great. So LinkedIn is the kind of must-have these days then if you're looking for this global talent.
I would say yes. I would say it's like the Facebook for the professional careers. I mean, because you can look for everything in there. You can look for a job. You can look for what is the company doing. You can look for the size of a company. Well, for example, now something that is super important that we are super focused on in recruiting talent and expecting that people want to work it out. But at the same time, it's backwards because, for example, I say I'm from L'Oreal and I try to spot a person. And this person is going to go automatically, let's say, to our webpage or to our webpage in LinkedIn to understand how big is the company, who works in that company. And that's a both ways, let's say, win-win, because I want to work with you. I want to understand what do you do or what do you give me in order to be a good candidate for you. And it's the same the opposite. So I'll say, yes, LinkedIn, it could be your best friend too.
That's brilliant. It really kind of democratizes it, doesn't it? Are there any, I've read some things about different tools that can help you, I guess, with recruiting and help with diversity and inclusion. Have you heard of any of those? Do you know of anything that is doing that?
Sure. There's a lot of tools, of course. There's a lot of tools where you can have different profiles from all around. For example, in our case, we are super, super strict with our careers webpage where we can receive candidates from all around the globe with different ethnic, different religions, different whatever that we can look for. So I think it's a really good opportunity for us to, as I mentioned, to track all these people in the system and try to be much more diverse on the people that we're looking for. And going a little bit back on what I mentioned on globalization, I think globalization, it's a really good thing for us to be much more diverse on the type of profiles or the type of candidates that we would like to join to a position. And of course, having a demographic super well, let's say, implemented in terms of a zone, it's good. But at the same time, we can open our opportunities to different people that are super diverse and from other parts of the globe, but it's not necessarily your zone or your country.
That's amazing, isn't it? So I guess that's a huge benefit to our wonderful world that's changed from COVID-19. Is there anything else that it's done, I guess, to the recruitment industry or to hiring talent, other than the things that we've talked about? Is there anything else that stands out for you?
I mean, there's a lot of, let's say, for example, I'm going to talk about digital, for example. And if we would like to spot talent in digital, we have there's a lot of tools that are already in the market that you can acquire. For example, there are different assessments or different tests that you can do as a first filter for all these people that apply to your job, and that they don't need to necessarily have a human contact. Let's say this way. For example, you apply to a job that you see on our webpage, and this goes automatically to our tracking system. At the same time, there's a trigger that goes directly to your email, for example, for you to do a test for us to understand how is your digital knowledge, for example. And if, I don't know, the test is based up from 0 to 20, we can decide if we would like to have at least 19 points, for example, for a person who joins the company in terms of digital knowledge. And that's already one filter for the process instead of going one CV per CV, because sometimes all the information that you would like to share as a candidate is not in the CV. So it's a good way for us to understand how your digital knowledge is instead of only looking through your CV or your resume. So I would say definitely there are so many tools or so many already automatic tests that can help you filter these candidates in order of value the competencies or the potential of these people. And you can, of course, when you get to the moment of the interview, you can evaluate the potential of this person. You already filter the competencies of this candidate, talking potentially, for example, in digital knowledge. Well, I mean, I answered your question.
That's brilliant. Yeah, no, it's so interesting, isn't it? So how we can make these changes. And I guess, how are you looking at and maybe in your region or even in your company, the kind of remote work versus hybrid work? What's your take on that? And is it here to stay? How are you guys, how is that working for you?
I think
I can guess the answer, but.
No, it's a good question as well. I mean, I think it's something that is definitely to stay. I mean, there are many companies like Spotify, Twitter, that they already decided that they're not going back to the offices. You can work whatever you want. But for example, talking about L'Oreal, that we are a super, super people company. We like to have a place to go. And of course, we don't normally go to the office every day like it was used to be in the past. But it's something that is here to stay, that you have the opportunity to go to an area, to go to have an area where you can see your colleagues and have an office. But at the same time, you can be working remote 3 or 4 days a week, depending on the necessity that you have. It depends a lot on the culture of the company and how well the technology is developed inside the company as well. Because, of course, you want to work remote, but if you don't have the IT tools to work at home that are in your laptop or your VPN or whatever you need for you to be remote, that's a super important thing that you need to consider when you send to work remote to your people. But for sure, this is something that is here to stay, and it's going a little bit back on what I mentioned on the globalization, that it's something that is here to stay. And if you already have your laptop, have your phone, and you have your iPad, and you have all the systems installed on your computer, and you respect, of course, your timing or your work timing, you can work whatever you want, giving exact the same results as you were doing before. Of course, the networking with your teams and stuff, it needs to be much more forced, let's say this way, for you to connect with your team, for you to connect with your people, to understand what is going on. But it's something that is here to stay. We already see it in 2020 that it works, and it's something that I don't think is going to change the way it used to be 5 days a week in an office.
Yeah. And so what are some considerations that you would have for companies, you know, in, because I agree with you, you know, it's definitely not, we're not going to go back that way, I hope, anytime soon. But obviously, one of the ways candidates and yourselves can, you know, and businesses can find the right candidate is getting to know them and getting to see the company culture and stuff like that. So how do you build a successful kind of recruitment process in a remote environment that still can give that flavor of your business?
Well, I think that when you work in the recruitment team or the talent acquisition team, it's something that you must learn, and you need to understand that you need to be super close to the candidate, because at the end, the candidate is a win-win for you to find the correct talent and the candidate to accept work for your company. So I think that it's something that when we were offline, we used to be super connected with this candidate. Now we need to be much more connected. Why? Because sometimes you never meet the person, candidate in person. You need to be super connected with them in order to understand what is their process in this recruitment process, how these stages are being managed. Because, of course, there's so many people that are involved in the recruitment process. It's you as, let's say, the headhunter, but it's also someone from the hiring manager, and then is the director of the area. So while all these interviews or all these stages in the process are happening, you need to be super close to your candidate, because you walk by the hand with this person for this process to be super successful and for this person to actually understand what is the intention of the company when hiring for that role. So I would say closeness to the candidate as most as possible. And of course, to your hiring manager to be aligned on what you both are looking for.
That's so important, isn't it? I love the way that you described that, walking with the hand of the candidate, and you know that they're in your care. I think that's really important, because it is so important for us to have, I guess, we have to be more intentional with how we connect with people.
Agreed. And at the end, I think that it's how can I explain? I mean, you're the first face or image of the company when someone tries to apply for the company, because it's the first interaction that they have with the company. I mean, even though you're a brand, for example, and I'm a consumer and I buy your brand, I mean, I'm buying the product that is the end product to the consumer. But now that you want to work for the company, you're meeting people that build up what the company is made of. So of course that you need to be super close to this person and try to transmit how the company is built up, what is the culture of the company, and how will be the best way for you to, let's say, put this person in the right position, and of course being aligned and making a good fit with the company.
Wow, that makes you kind of a master in employee branding and kind of customer experience, really, isn't it? You have to all kinda. In one.
yeah, it's both ways. I mean, at the end, if you work for a brand, I mean, a consumer can become a candidate for the brand, or a candidate that was maybe not a consumer, you can now switch this candidate up to consumer of your brand. So it's always looking both ways now.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you're recruiting people now, now that you have LinkedIn, and like you say, everybody's going and looking at your brands or finding more about your business, how important is the employer branding to that experience these days?
I think it's super important. I think employer branding is as much as important as how you do marketing for your brand. Because one, you need to, if you want to attract people to your company, of course, as I mentioned before, these candidates are going to go and look, what do you do in the company and what is going to give me an extra value for me to work to your company. So employer branding, it will be marketing of the company, but and what happens internal, what happens with your employees, what happens with your sustainability, how diverse you are inside of your company, not only with people, but what everything that is going on in your brand, how globalized are your brands, and what is it going to give for me to work for you in terms of to grow my potential, to grow my competencies. So I think employer branding, it's most important to make marketing for your brand. You need to make marketing on what happens inside of your company in terms of, let's say, culture for people to want to join your company.
Yeah. And how important is culture then, would you say, right now in terms of attracting people to the business?
I'll say a lot. I think that we all like to work in an environment that you feel safe, that you feel good, that you have a team, and you feel that you're what you're reporting to the company or what you are commenting to the company and what is something that you can do or decision you can make. You are supported as a team. You are supported as an individual. And this is made out of the culture. The culture of the company is what makes everything that is happening in the inside. So I think culture is something super important. And I think it's something that people that are now willing to work in a different workplace, from the first question that I received is, how is the culture of your company? How is it to work at your company? How is it to deal with your teammates or your stakeholders, and how good, bad it could be? So culture for me, it's also as well important. It's part of the employee branding.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And what are some of the things that you do at the L'Oréal Group to improve that culture for your employees?
Well,
what are some of the great things that you do there?
I think I've been in the company for almost 7 years, and I think the most thing that I did value in the company is that they made them feel that it's your business, and the decisions that you can make or opportunities that you can afford to the company are super valued, and they give you freedom to make this happen. So I think that one of the most important things that we push for the people is to test and learn, to be free on the decisions that they made. Of course, everything has to be a supervision, managers and stuff, and if a decision is made, of course, people are involved. But a good thing in here is that I've been super few times that when you propose something, you get a no. Of course, you get some arrangements on the proposition and to make it happen. But the most important thing I think in here is that they make them feel that it's your business and you're super involved on the company decision. And this is something great for someone who joins the company.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, autonomy is so high up on what's important to people. Wow, that's amazing. So you've got this. I think you describe yourself as a kind of digital. You're a digital guru, and then you're in HR. So I guess how has that come together now nowadays?
I think that more guru, because I'm definitely not an expert in digital technical in this way. But I mean, I'm a digital passionate. I mean, since I've been always super related with everything that it becomes with tech, and now with digital, to understand how the digital platforms work, how do we do marketing in different platforms or in different social media, for example. But it's a great way so you can understand how the business is moving. But I mean, it's something that I think it's much more personal on my interest in digital. It's definitely I will say tomorrow, but it's now. I mean, digital, it happens now. I mean, I'm going to give you an example. The other day, I bought to make coffee, and then to make this coffee, it was readed by a QR code, and it, by the QR code, it can tell you what's going to be the size of your coffee and if it's going to have milk or not. So digital is here and in stuff that we will never imagine. So I think that if we stick on these changes that are happening to the world, you're going to love how this transformation is being made. Of course, many people is not going to be very, let's say, okay with all this, but this is something that is happening, and you're seeing it outside. You're seeing at your house. You're seeing with your with the boys, assistants, and you tell them to turn on the lights. So this is all here, and it's here to stay. So it's something that I personally like, and I personally enjoy how this evolution is being super clear in front of our eyes.
That's totally, it's so true. And it's been really interesting hearing you talk through kind of your role and where it touches. I think historically we would have thought of kind of headhunting or talent and acquisition as kind of over on its own, often an office, you know, kind of filtering through papers. But, you know, I've heard you talk about sales, about customer service, about, you know, converting your customers into employees or employees into customers. Digital and HR, so it really is this kind of central point, really this entry point to your business.
Exactly.
And has that happened over time, or did it always feel like that? How has that changed?
No, I think it has always happened. This time, I mean, the way we do, let's say, for example, employer branding has been changing. Throughout the years, of course, but I think the objectives have been always the same. Sometimes you can, as I mentioned, sometimes you can buy a product that, let's say, for example, Kiehl's, for example, and you're super interested in working on Kiehl's, and then when you go and try to apply for this job, you can see what's happening in the inside, but it's the same. I mean, I think that sometimes you can go to a recruitment process that maybe it wasn't that good, and you are super sick with, let's say, Kiehl's, and then you decide to stop buying Kiehl's because you had a really bad recruitment process. So this has been happening the same, and what we try to do is to make it very personalized, your recruitment process, and how, as I mentioned, you're taken by the hand on this recruitment process. Because at the end, if you're the recruiter, you understand exactly what is going on inside the company with your stakeholders, with your hiring managers. And the person who is outside, I mean, maybe has no idea, because the company they work for might be super related to what you work at, but they don't work for. So it's a constant, let's say, communication, and this is something that has been happening all the time. Now, of course, supported with digital tools or digital platforms, which makes it easier, but this is something that has been happening through the years.
That's just, I love that. I love that idea. And I love how different business zones are kind of coming together in that. That's amazing. So last question then, because we always like to leave people with some things. What would you recommend or say are, you know, what are your three priorities for a company when building that employer branding strategy? What are the three things that someone listening to this could go away and focus on?
Well, I think the first thing you as a company will need to first clarify or understand is to whom you're talking to. Because you're not going to talk the same, let's say, if you make a campaign of attracting digital profiles that are super disruptive and stuff, maybe it's not going to be the same campaign as you apply for something that is going to work for finance that are much think about numbers or organization, and you're not looking for someone to come and completely innovate the way you do finance. So I think the first thing that you need to have super clear is to whom you're talking to, and it's kind of the same for a marketing campaign for a product. You don't talk to the same audience as well as you talk to the other audience. So I think that'll be the first one. Number two is to be 100% transparent. I think that the worst employer branding campaigns is when you try to publish something and when people join to the company, they see something completely different. So be super transparent on how your company is, how, of course, you're going to attract this talent and be clear in the recruitment process what you're expecting from this person or this candidate. And I think that the number three will be, how can I explain this? I think that it'll be to show your culture a little bit as well as the second one, but to show what your culture is in a transparent way and that it's aligned on what you talk about your brand. So I think it's a very, very related thing on employer branding that it needs to be constant, let's say, shared to the candidates. But if I make a sum up on all of them, I think that transparency and to understand to whom you're talking to in order to build your employer branding campaign.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just because it's all about people, isn't it? What you do and what we're talking about next week. But thank you so much for joining me today, Lionel. I'm really, really looking forward to your presentation.
Thank you.
I'm very excited. I get to watch it live, so that's really good. To anyone listening, you can catch Lionel's presentation at the Employee Engagement Summit this coming Thursday, the 13th of May. I think you're scheduled for 2:20, that's UK time. And you can still book your tickets at engageemployee.com. And thank you once again. I'm really excited to hear more about your kind of future of recruitment. And thanks for joining me today. I'll speak to you again next week.